a Vancouver co-work space tour, and how Richmond accidentally became a tech hotbed. I just spent 2 weeks in Vancouver visiting family, but as a startup guy, how could I not also see what was happening startup-wise in my hometown? One of my teams from Blue Startups, Virtual Fantasy League, moved back after cohort 8 in Hawaii, so it was good to see them as well as checking out some of the co-work spaces in the city. Here are some of my observations to share with other startup connectors and to put into context the main theme of this post, which is the hotbed of innovation that the city doesn't even know about. I spent time in co-works like Sweet Genius, Creative Coworkers, Work Lab, Hello Spaces, and Invoke. Not to mention a bunch of coffee shops. Yep, even though they are bigger without tourists sleeping them like in Hong Kong, I found I still needed a co-work space to get deep work done. Luckily, I visited in the week of International Co-work Week. Didn't even know it was a thing. And many places on this list, which you'll find on the Medium post, gave out a day or the week of free co-work. The prices were around Canadian dollars, $300 to $500 a desk, or $25 a day for drop-in. So that's around the same prices in Hong Kong, Los Angeles, and other cities. Very lax places in hipster cool neighborhoods. A different type of founder have set up these up. Not property plays entirely, but actually places to grow communities in the different pockets of the city, like Gastown, Strathcona, Mount Pleasant, Kitsilano, Railtown, and even Richmond. Yes, Richmond. It's so great to see my hometown open up so many new co-works. I don't know the actual number, but in the area, there seem to be at least 30 of them for a metro area of 2.4 million, and everyone is awaiting a four-level WeWork in downtown, which already has three floors booked out by Amazon. Not necessarily as competition, but to help validate and define the space for non-startup people. It's very interesting so far, and we'll like to see how these spaces are doing next year. You can see my tweets at KC_Lau for images, or go to my Medium posts, and I have some videos and images of co-work spaces like Sweet Genius, the Invoke Studio, Creative Studio, and also a Work Lab. And even the Hello Space, which was crazy because there's one in Richmond. All right, so it's cool to see all the different co-work spaces in Vancouver, but I also want to talk about something I found very interesting about a suburb of Vancouver called Richmond, and I'd like to call it now Shenzhen West. So the startup scene is still on the rise in Vancouver, which according to Startup Genome is the most advanced of the three major Canadian cities and number 15 worldwide. I have not yet been to Montreal or Toronto, so I'm just basing this on the clarity of the reports on the cities I do know for the basis of my understanding. What piqued my interest the most is the stuff I saw in the city of Richmond, just a bridge away from Vancouver, connected by SkyTrain and where the Vancouver International Airport is. The famous city that has a population of 220,000 people, mostly from Hong Kong and mainland China. If Hong Kong people complained about the mainlanders' presence in Hong Kong, they should see what's going on in Richmond. So imagine this, a city of immigrants. Many of those don't speak English, but that's okay because most of the retail there only have Chinese signs. Even HSBC in Hong Kong has more English signs than the branches in Richmond, believe it or not. But there is all the comforts of home, food, supermarkets, karaoke, the cha-cha tents, etc., with the freedom of speech of Canada and our amazing health care and benefits. Now imagine how boring it must be there after your first 3 months of looking around, or rather, 3 days. Unless you're retired, Richmond would be a living hell for a rich Chinese kid from Shanghai. Although to me, it has definitely grown a lot since I visited last a decade ago, and apparently the women are doing okay and have their own YouTube show, and you can take a look at that link on the Medium post. So what do enterprising Chinese people do? They go ahead and create their own Uber and Josephine. So there's links here to two stories from Richmond News. One of them is about like an Uber type app that's been created in Chinese just for Richmond. So if you, because Vancouver does not have Uber. It's the only Canadian city that does not have Uber. And so someone decided to just create their own. Now it's highly illegal, of course, to create this app, but it's all in Chinese. So they've probably been operating it for a long time. It's on Android only. So there's nobody really monitoring this thing, and it runs by itself and it's very successful. So that's amazing, right? And so now Uber is, the Canadian government or the BC government have now let Uber in to run. And so they'll probably shut down this kind of service, right? As it'll be a legalized service to use. But the idea that somebody just created this out of necessity is amazing. And the second thing I like is the sites like Josephine, which is an American company. Basically, it's home cooked meals. So it's not like a food delivery platform where you get it from a restaurant. Josephine is basically your next door neighbor that cooks the best wonton, then makes more wonton for maybe 10 or 20 different people, and then you can order it on through this app and buy food from other people. Now, I don't know, that sounds a bit strange to me, of course, but so did Airbnb a few years ago, but I'm recording this in one right now. So I guess buying food from, say, the lady from Taiwan down the street that makes the best beef noodle in all of Richmond is offering to make it for you, I think maybe you'd be willing to pay for it. And so that's obviously what's been going on. People are selling food out of the back of their cars and probably through an app and other digital ways using WeChat and things like that. So I'm very amazed at a city like Richmond, which is kind of a joke in Vancouver in that it's just where all the Chinese people live, right? That's all that goes on there. You can find all the Chinese food and stuff like that, and there's not really anything going on there. But from what I saw just quickly when I was there, there was more innovation going on there than where I was in the main Vancouver, right? Because finding customers is hard. When you have the necessity of need of getting people to buy things from you that are from home, I think people draw to the technology very, very quickly. So they use WeChat for their MVP and then release an app even if the BC government is against it. Imagine a city of Starbucks built in a petri dish of one suburb of Vancouver that has enough customers it could expand. I guess you could say this was basically Shenzhen West. What's next? Illegal factories producing Sanjay Electronics in Richmond? Who knows? You never know. Maybe it's already happening. I don't know. Because you can just see people just do all kinds of stuff there. This, of course, is nothing new for Chinese entrepreneurship, as the taxi drivers in Hong Kong already made their own app before Uber arrived in the city to be able to get customers faster. Hence, you see 5 to 6 smartphones adorning the dashboards of every red taxi in the city. So Richmond has found innovation and desire of its citizens, and the only way that it will fail is, as always, government regulation. I'm sure they do this in China, where it's hard to patrol and shut down, but probably relatively easy in Richmond. But this could easily scale to the rest of Vancouver and its districts, all the way out to Maple Ridge, then out to Alberta, and across to all the heavily Chinese populated cities in the US, like even in Los Angeles. I want to call this a strong niche market, but I think we all know it's beyond that now. So I leave questions here for people to discuss on my Medium post. So the question to discuss, how can British Columbia help grow this instead of shutting it down? And how can the local talent help BC create other tech that will help the city's problems? And most importantly is, how can I invest in something like this? I feel like investors are always looking for opportunities like this for entrepreneurs just to start things up and just tap in the market. I mean, this is what startups is about, just building something out of here. So I'm very impressed with what I saw there in Richmond. And I think that, take a look at the stories linked to on my Medium post if you want to have a little bit more understanding. But I'd say keep these kind of things in mind. I think building a startup is always about looking at these kind of opportunities.